This tape was taken at the University of Alaska at the dedication ceremonies of the new gymnasium building at the request of Forbes L. Baker of the Masonic Lodge and a member of the Tanah Yukon Historical Society, and was recorded by Harry Hughes of Igloo 4, Pioneers of Alaska at Fairbanks, Alaska, and with the aid of Mr. Stolen of the University of Alaska and his helpers in the electrical department. Today is Saturday, October the 20th, 1962, at Fairbanks, Alaska. And I will turn this tape over to Forbes L. Baker of the Masonic Lodge at Fairbanks.
Testing. Thank you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Just 6 months ago, quite a number of us gathered near this spot for a groundbreaking ceremony. Today we're gathered to lay the cornerstone for this very important addition to our physical plant, the Health, Physical Education, and Recreation Facility. It is my pleasure to introduce the special guests who comprise the stage party. Several of these will speak in the course of the program, but I shall nevertheless present the entire group and ask that they stand as their names are called. I ask that applause be withheld until all have been presented. Dr. William R. Wood, President of the University. The Honorable William A. Egan, Governor of Alaska. Elmer E. Rasmussen, President of the Board of Regents. William A. O'Neill, Vice President. Mrs. Helen Atkinson, Secretary of the Board. Regent John J. Conway. Regent Mrs. Warren N. Cuddy. Regent Boyd Harwood. Regent Arthur J. Scheib. Vice President C.T. Albert. There's more to come. In the second row, Dr. Howard A. Cutler, Academic Vice President, Dean Charles K. Ray, Dean of the College of Behavioral Sciences and Education, Colonel Richard A. Beyer, Head of the Military Science Department, Professor A. William Ordway, Head of the Physical Education Department, Mrs. Betty S. Harrop, Director of Alumni Services, Mr. Ben Atkinson, Director of Campus Planning, Mr. Lynn A. Forrest, Architect, Mr. E. Keith Briggs, Contractor, CNR Builders, Linda C. Dahl, representing the Associated Student Body, Charlotte I. Nygren, Women's Athletic Association, and Ronald C. Anderson, representing the A Club. Thank you. To my left, your right, I am going to ask the Grand Secretary of the Masonic Order, Daniel T. Simmons, that he will present his guests.
Thank you very much, sir, for the privilege afforded me of introducing the officers of the Grand Lodge of Washington, both acting and those who are actually elected to office. Of course, it is my extreme pleasure to present to you our Grand Master, whom we know as the Grand Master of Masons of the states of Washington and Alaska, Mr. Charles W. Johnson of Tacoma. In an acting capacity, we then have some of your own residents who are members of our fraternity. Acting as the Deputy Grand Master, Jens M. Jorgensen. Acting as Senior Grand Warden, William H. Lefferson. Acting as Junior Grand Warden, T. Loftus. As Grand Chaplain, Howard K. Coons. As Grand Lecturer, C. D. Blotto. As Grand Orator, Forbes L. Baker. Grand Bible Bearer, Elmer A. Lanstra. Senior Grand Steward, Curtis N. Johnson. Junior Grand Steward, Gordon Ware. The Grand Standard Bearer is from Anchorage, Abraham Bailey. The Acting Grand Sword Bearer is the Worshipful Master of Mount Susitna Lodge, Number 294, also Anchorage, Keith Morgan. Senior Grand Deacon, Donathan A. Wilson, Jr. The Junior Grand Deacon, Fred L. McQuire. The Grand Tyler, Roy A. A. Larson. The Grand Marshal, L. E. Huff. And acting as the Master Architect for the ceremony, Edward Lee Kimball. and I will introduce myself as last as Daniel T. Simmons, the Grand Secretary. Thank you very kindly.
Thank you, Mr. Simmons. And now to deliver the official welcome, I am pleased to present the President of the University, Dr. William Ransom Wood. Dr. Wood.
Mr. Cashin, Governor Egan, distinguished guests, members of the Masonic Order, ladies and gentlemen, it is a great pleasure to welcome you to this afternoon's ceremony for laying the cornerstone of this splendid new building now under construction. When it is finished next August, or perhaps sometime before, it will be a most valuable addition to the campus, not only for our academic needs in health, physical education, military science, but as a much-needed student and faculty recreation facility, as a gymnasium, swimming pool, and rifle range. Of particular significance is the fact that this is the first facility financed under the state bonding program approved by a decisive margin by the people of Alaska at the general election in 1960. For that high vote of confidence and strong support, the university is most appreciative. As president of the university, I extend to the people of Alaska, on behalf of the regents, the faculty, and the students, our heartfelt thanks. Our support derives from all of the people of Alaska. It is our purpose to serve all of Alaska. We are particularly honored to have the governor of this great land, the Honorable William A. Egan, with us today. Governor Egan, please convey to our many loyal friends in government service and in the legislature our warmest thanks for their assistance in making this fine addition to our campus a reality. We hope that the instruction and research and service provided by your university will continue to merit your enthusiastic endorsement and support. The years ahead offer fabulous opportunities for us all and for our children if we continue to invest our resources wisely in enterprises such as this.
President Wood, Grandmaster Johnson, distinguished guests, friends, I am truly delighted to participate in this important event. Many people worked hard in 1960 for passage of the bond issue which made possible this fine gymnasium. It is intensely rewarding to be here today to see the results of that effort. Our University of Alaska has grown in stature during the past few years, and of that there is no doubt. It is now rated as one of the most respected Arctic research institutes on the North American continent, and its enrollment has passed the 1,000 mark. In addition, it has played and must continue to play a leading role in providing Alaska's young men and women with the know-how to be leaders in the expansion of Alaska's economy, to carry on the affairs of state, and to play a dominant role in the realms of education and the arts. As a side effect of this growth, the university assures a substantial year-round payroll and market to the Fairbanks area. It is up to us of this day and this age to provide the academic facilities so vital and necessary if our young men and women are to receive the education essential to carry on the functions of a civilization based on scientific and cultural advancement, and if we are to meet the increased demands of our growing population. This is a duty we cannot shirk. It requires more than lip service. We must also have the foresight to anticipate and the courage to carry out a course of constructive action to meet the needs of the future as well as those of today. In the recent past, the people of Alaska have responded generously to this need. That response, I am proud to say, predates the time when statehood underscored the need for more qualified scientists, engineers, educators, and civic and educational leaders for the new state. As far back as 1957, the then territorial legislature took the commendable and unprecedented action of approving a general obligation bond issue of nearly $2 million for dormitories and other buildings which now have replaced temporary wooden structures first erected in 1922. In 1960, the state took the lead in working for a favorable voter response to the general obligation bond issue, which has financed this gymnasium and other buildings which are rising on this university. It is my hope and my conviction that the people of Alaska will give continued support to this program with a favorable vote on the bond issue, which will be on the ballot next month to provide nearly $6 million more for this purpose. Another reflection of public support for education is the appropriations approved each year by the state legislature. In 1957, total expenditures from Alaska's general fund for education amounted to about $11 million a year. In 1962, the appropriation for education in Alaska is nearly $20 million, just about double that of 1957, and most of this was needed because of the increased enrollment that has entered our school system, public and here at the university, each year. This not only emphasizes the growing school population of our state, but takes into account the expanding services provided to upgrade the already high standards of our educational system. We must not regard improvement of the university as a luxury item. It is essential that we induce our young people of college age to stay here in Alaska. To do so, we must provide the facilities for our first-class education in the fields of endeavor which need more qualified personnel to develop our state, as well as to carry out the functions of business and government. These facilities must meet, in all respects, those available in the first 48 states. We must have faith in Alaska, in its young people, in its future, and in the educational system which functions so efficiently in Alaska. The ceremonies here today are but a single link in the chain of Alaska educational development. We must dedicate ourselves and our resources to the task of maintaining and strengthening the academic status of the University of Alaska, as well as the growing public school system of our state. Unless we act to do so, it is useless to talk about educational and cultural advancement. By maintaining our faith and pledges and acting to carry them out to completion, the future is assured. Thank you very much.
Governor Egan, President Wood, distinguished guests, and ladies and gentlemen, the earliest date of significance in the history of the University of Alaska is July 4th, 1915. On that date, Tanana Lodge No. 162, free and accepted Masons, conducted the ceremony for the laying of the cornerstone for the Alaska Agricultural College and School of Mines. Another significant date in the university's history is July 1st, 1949. On that day, Tanana Lodge 162 officiated at the laying of the cornerstone for the Geophysical Institute, which in its short lifetime of 13 years has become a world-known center of scientific research. Accordingly, when the arrangements were concluded for the erection of this great building, popularly known as the gymnasium, the Board of Regents of the University passed unanimously the following resolution. Whereas the Masonic fraternity has performed throughout the ages the laying of cornerstones to certain public buildings, and whereas it has performed this ceremony on various occasions in the erection of buildings of this university, now therefore be it resolved by the Board of Regents of the University of Alaska to request the laying of the cornerstone of the health, physical education, and recreational facility by Tanana Lodge, No. 162, Fairbanks, Alaska, free and accepted Masons of Washington. Ladies and gentlemen, as President of the Board of Regents, it is my pleasure at this time to invite the Most Worshipful Brother Charles W. Johnson, Grand Master of the Most Worshipful Grand Lodge of Free and Accepted Masons of Washington, to conduct the ritual for the laying of the cornerstone.
From time immemorial, it has been the custom of the Fraternity of Free and Accepted Masons, on invitation, to lay with their ancient ceremonies the cornerstone of buildings being erected for the worship of God, charitable, educational, for Masonic purposes, or for the administration of free government. No man should ever enter upon any great and important undertaking without first invoking the blessing of deity. Brother Grand Chaplain, you will lead us in prayer.
Almighty, eternal God, creator and upholder of the universe, who in the beginning laid the foundations of the earth, the heavens are the work of thy hands and the children of thy creation. We too create and make, plan and mold. By thy kind providence, we are assembled here today to lay this foundation stone. Thou, O God, knowest our needs in this present work. In thee is our wisdom, in thee is our strength. Vouchsafe to us, we implore thee, grace, wisdom, and understanding, that we may discharge the solemn duties of this hour to thy honor and glory. We fervently implore thy blessing on all who shall be engaged in the erection of this building. From this cornerstone, well tried, true, and trusty, may the good work advance to completion in peace and harmony, and to thy name will we give all the praise, both now and forever. Amen.
Right Worshipful Brother Grand Secretary, it has been the custom, on occasions like the present, to deposit within a cavity in the cornerstone certain memorials of the period in which it was erected, so that if in the lapse of ages the fury of the elements, or the slow but certain ravages of time, should lay bare its foundation, an enduring record may be found by succeeding generations to bear testimony to the energy, the industry, and the culture of our time. You will now deposit within the stone the memorials prepared for that purpose, the list of which you will first read.
Most Worshipful Grand Master, this copper box, properly sealed from the ravages of time, here near my feet, and to be deposited within the cornerstone of the Physical Education and Recreation Center of the University of Alaska, contains the following memorial items. Some coins of the day, a dollar, a half dollar, a quarter, a dime, a 5-cent piece, and a penny. A copy of the News Miner, for the dates of October 15, 16, 18, and 19, 1962. Copy of Jensen's Weekly of October 17, 1962. Copy of Polar Star, January 12, 1962, September 21, September 28th, October 5, 12, and the 19th, all of 1962. Copy of Denali, 1962, Nanook News, October 18, 1962. Copy of the Alaska Alumnus List of October 1960 and October 1962. Two ROTC shoulder patches, Army patch of the University of Alaska patch. Copy of the ROTC cadet guide, ROTC metal unit patch. University of Alaska decal, the seal in the nook, official basketball handbook of 1962-63. First aid handbook, a recording of Alaska's flag song, University of Alaska fight song, University of Alaska alma mater. Fact sheet on the bond issue, number 4, voted at November 8, 1960 election, and passed, making the building of the new gym possible. A copy of the letter sent to all candidates for state office by the Alumni Executive Secretary on October 11, 1962. Copy of the sample ballot of the general election in November 8, 1960. Copy of the report by Frederick H. Boyle, a gymnasium for the University of Alaska. Faculty bulletin published, issued by President Wood, naming the committees for cornerstone laying ceremony for the new gymnasium. Copy of the invitation for the cornerstone laying ceremony for the new gymnasium as of October 20, 1962. Copy of the program of the cornerstone laying ceremony. Copy of the Farthest North Collegian of April 1, 1962. Program for rededication ceremony for original cornerstone on University of Alaska campus. A photograph of the cornerstone laying ceremony, which occurred on July 4, 1915. A picture in history of the Grand Master of Masons, Charles W. Johnson, of the Most Worshipful Grand Lodge of Free and Accepted Masons of Washington. A copy of the roster, the members of Tanana Lodge number 162, F&AM, at Fairbanks. A copy of the address of the Grand Orator. A 1962-63 University of Alaska catalog. The program log for the opening day of KUAC. Gold souvenir dollar issued when Alaska became the 49th state and good in trade for 1 year. Progress pictures in the construction of the health, physical education, and recreation building up until the laying of the cornerstone as of this date. A copy of the proposed budget for the University of Alaska for the year 1963-64. And the copy of the program for the groundbreaking ceremony, which occurred in April 1962.
Most worshipful Grand Master, I present you the working tools of operative masonry, which are considered by our craft as the most valued jewels of the lodge, symbols of important truths, and teaching lessons of wisdom and morality.
Open this for me. Right, worshipful brethren, with your assistance and that of the craft, I will now proceed to lay this cornerstone according to the custom of the fraternity.
I also, for the Grand Marshal, you will assist me in lowering the stone. Ceremony of the trowel is a symbolic one, as it would please us very much if the governor of the state of Washington, of Alaska, would now symbolically spread some of the cement. Of the University of Regents, in Rasmussen, he would do likewise. And this would not be complete without the president of the university, Dr. Wood. Now we would like to have Linda Dahl representing student body. Want the executive secretary of the Alumni Association, that this is her. She's the best one of us all. Not to be outdone, as Grand Master of the Grand Lodge of Washington in Alaska, I will now do the same thing. Right, Worshipful Brother Deputy Grand Master, what is the proper jewel of your office?
The square.
What is its moral and Masonic use?
To square our actions by the square of virtue and to prove our work.
apply that implement to the cornerstone, attest its value and workmanship, and make report.
Most worshipful Grandmaster, I find the stone square and well fitted for its use. The craftsmen have performed their duty acceptably.
Right, Worshipful Brother Senior Grand Warden, what is the proper jewel of your office?
The level.
What is its use?
Morally and Masonically, it teaches equality. It is used to lay horizontal.
Apply that implement to the cornerstone and make report.
Most worshipful Grand Master, I find the stone to be level. The work of the craftsman has been well done.
Right, Worshipful Junior Grand Warden, what is the proper jewel of your office?
The plum.
What is its use?
Orally and Masonically, it teaches rectitude of conduct and is used to try perpendiculars.
Apply that implement to the several sides of the cornerstone and make report.
Most worshipful Grand Master, I find the stone to be true and plumb. The craftsman's work is well performed.
This cornerstone has now been tried and tested by the proper implements of masonry. The craftsmen have well and skillfully performed their duty. And I do now declare this cornerstone well formed, true and trusty, and properly laid according to the ancient ceremonies of our craft. Let it now be consecrated.
I scatter this corn as a symbol of plenty. May heavenly blessings be bounteously showered upon us, and ever inspire the hearts of our people with virtue, wisdom, and gratitude. Amen. I pour this wine as a symbol of strength and of gladness. May the great ruler of the universe bless and prosper our national, state, and city government. And may our union of states be preserved and cemented a bond of friendship and brotherly love which shall endure through all time. Amen.
I pour this oil as a symbol of peace and joy. May its blessings abide with us continually. May our Father in heaven shelter and protect the widow and orphan, shield and defend them from the trials and vicissitudes of the world, and so bestow his mercy upon the bereaved, the afflicted, and the sorrowing, that they may know sorrow and trouble no more. Amen.
And may the all-bounteous author of the universe bless the inhabitants of this place with an abundance of the necessities, conveniences, and comforts of life. Assist in the erection and completion of this building. Protect the workmen against every accident. And long preserve this structure from decay. And grant to us all a supply of the corn of nourishment, the wine of refreshment, and the oil of joy. Amen.
Brother Architect, having laid the cornerstone of this structure, I now return to you the implements of operative masonry in full confidence of your skill and ability to perform the important duties entrusted to you. To the unimaginative man, the ceremonies we have performed may be barren and meaningless. But to the thoughtful student, they are permeated with the symbolism of the building of human character. In that sense, we are all architects. And as I return you these implements of operative masonry, I admonish you to use them carefully in superintending the erection and completion of this temporal building. And I charge these, my brethren, to use them in a symbolic sense, to try and test each thought, each word, each action, that no stones may be laid in their spiritual buildings that are not just, right, and true. I would like to deviate from our ceremonies a minute and ask President Rasmussen if he wouldn't step forward. President Rasmussen, on behalf of the Grand Lodge of Washington, but more particularly upon your good friends and neighbors, the Tananaw Lodge number 162, I present you this silver trowel and these vessels. And trust that they may become a part of the souvenirs you may have of this occasion.
May I say that I accept these treasured symbols as great memories of this occasion and your coming to be with us in this installation and ceremony.
And Mr. Brother Grand Marshal, you will make the proclamation that this cornerstone has been laid in ample form.
I have been directed to proclaim, and I do now proclaim, in the name of the Most Worshipful Grand Lodge of Free and Accepted Masons of Washington, that the cornerstone to this health, physical education, and recreational facility here to be erected has this day been found square, level, and plumb, and has been laid in ample form, agreeably to the ancient customs and usages of the fraternity.
On occasions like the present, we are always favored with some timely remarks by our Grand Orator. Today, we are particularly favored in having our good brother Forbes Baker, who was the Grand Orator a few years ago and who resides here locally, to act as the Grand Orator on this occasion. Brother Baker.
Thank you, Most Worshipful Grand Master, Board of Regents, and friends. I'm going to pass this by here. On July 4th, 1915, a cornerstone was laid on this campus, not far from where we now stand. It was the evidence of things hoped for, that someday on this grant of land, an institution of higher learning would be erected to take care of the educational needs of generations yet to come. It was to be the destiny of this stone that it would never be a part of any building, to stand solitary and alone while a great university developed around it. Fate was to play still another trick on this important stone. In the hurry and rush of a new excavation, it disappeared and was forgotten. Then the God of Fair Beginnings took over. The stone was remembered, retrieved, and a few short weeks ago, in one of the most beautiful and impressive ceremonies ever witnessed on this campus, it was given a place of honor on the Memorial Plaza. A monument to those early pioneers who had the courage to put a dream into motion, and an inspiration to every citizen, to every student, to the alumni, to all the staff, to our regents, both past and present, and to every faculty member who has helped and is helping to make that dream come true. Truly, the stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. Today, we have witnessed an impressive and inspiring ceremony. The placing of the cornerstone of this health, physical education, and recreation facility, a much needed addition to the campus of the University of Alaska. It is the first building to be erected on this campus under a general obligation bond of the state of Alaska. By proper application of the more important tools of architecture, we are informed this stone is square, level, and plumb, and correctly laid. With this assurance, we know that as the horizontals and perpendiculars of this building are extended, we will have displayed before us a building of ever-increasing beauty and usefulness. Symbolically, the cornerstone must be perfectly square, and in its form a cube. The square is a symbol of morality, the cube of truth. Symbolically, we place the cornerstone in the northeast corner of a building. In ancient times, the north was considered a place of darkness, the east the source of light. Thus, placing the cornerstone in the northeast corner symbolized the progress from darkness to light, from ignorance to knowledge. It is very fitting that an occasion such as this should be accompanied by a ceremony embracing a symbolism brought down to us through centuries of cathedral builders, reverent and dedicated men, their leaders well skilled in the arts and sciences. Of all the craftsmen in the many guilds of medieval Europe, it was the stonemasons, the stone carvers, and the master architects only who had full and unrestricted liberty to travel in foreign countries to work and receive master's wages. These craftsmen laid the cornerstones and on them erected many beautiful buildings, cathedrals, buildings, bridges, and arches. Never did they build walls or fences. Many great cornerstones have been laid down through the ages. Certainly to be numbered among the greatest is the cornerstone of this republic, the Constitution of the United States of America. Deep on that stone are cut the words freedom and education. For surely to maintain and advance freedom, we must have an ever-increasing intelligent and informed citizenry. Our pioneer ancestors had horsepower, and our republic is great because of the ideals they established for its homes, its schools, and its democratic community life. The future of America depends on our standing by the ideals that have made us great, magnifying the importance of the home, building up our public schools, keeping alive and strengthening among our citizens the spirit of our heritage of freedom. A very definite obligation attaches to each of us to support to the best of our ability our public schools. This university is a part of that system. A great responsibility rests with those who direct the affairs of this university, with those charged with the instruction of the students, and with the students themselves, to resist with all their strength and with all their minds any attempt that might be made to diminish in the slightest our freedom to read, our freedom to learn, our freedom to think, our freedom to express our opinions. Don't ever let these words of Thomas Jefferson grow dim in the hearts and minds of free men. I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. In a great horseshoe bend of the Okmulgee River in Georgia, there once lived a drove of wild hogs. Where they came from, no one knew. But they survived floods, fires, freezes, droughts, and hunters. Then a stranger came to the country store on the river road and asked the whereabouts of these wild hogs. Several months later, he came back asking for help in bringing out the animals, which he had penned up in the swamp. Bewildered farmers and doubting hunters gathered to view the captive hogs. It was all very simple, explained the stranger. First, I put out some corn. For 3 weeks, they would not eat it. Then some of the young ones grabbed an ear and ran off into the thicket. Soon they were all eating. Then I began to build a pen around the corn, a little higher each day. When I noticed they were all waiting for me to bring the corn and that they had stopped grubbing for acorns and roots, I built a trap door and caught them. I can pen any animal on the face of the earth. If I can get him to depend on me for a free handout. The wild hogs had learned the hard way that there's no such thing as a free lunch. When God created the oyster, he gave to this humble bivalve a greater measure of built-in security than was given to most of his other creatures. The oyster's house, his armor, completely surrounds his otherwise vulnerable body, providing safety from most of his natural enemies. Thus secure, the oyster dwells amongst countless thousands of his kind on the tidal shallows close to shore. When he hungers, he has but to open his front door and the currents and eddies bring him a plentiful supply of everything he needs. Happy, happy oyster. When God created the eagle, he provided him with pinions with which to seek his livelihood and with talons with which to secure it. And he said to the eagle, "You are on your own. The sky is the limit." In the infant days of our republic, the founding fathers chose the eagle as a symbol of the new nation. Let us keep that symbol. You are on your own. The sky is the limit.
Thanks very much, Brother Baker. Again, you have not failed us. Brother Grand Chaplain, you will pronounce the benediction.
The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift upon us the light of his countenance and give us peace. Amen.
This concludes the ceremonies of the Cornerstone Lane. Brother Marshall, you form the procession.
Craftsmen, form in procession, columns of two.
This tape was recorded at the request of Forbes L. Baker, the Masonic Lodge of Fairbanks, Alaska, and for the Historical Society, Tanlaw Yukon Historical Society, here in the Tanlaw Valley. This is recorded by Harry Hughes of Igloo 4, Pioneers of Alaska, and with the help of Mr. Stolen of the University and his right-hand man.